To Kissing Contest. Kissing Contest is a comedy podcast about movies, television, sweet boys, pleasant fellows, hard ass men. We're not talking about any of those today. And snacks. Actually, we'll talk about one movie. I am Mike.
I'm Mark.
And joining us a little later is going to be a blast from the past. Guest host Derek Daniel. He'll be back because we have a special episode today. If you guys were here last episode, we set up a new thing called Music Hostage, a little podcast called Illogical Contraption. Try to call us out that this is their hit or shit segment, but this is nothing like hit or shit because we're actually reviewing albums.
Don't care.
Who knows the logical contraction? Yeah. But now we're going to be reviewing full albums. Mark picked three from my little tank of albums, and I picked three from his, and we're going to be talking about those in a little while. But the main event that we have to split into three segments, we are going to set a record here on Kissing Contest today. The great, great man named Alex went to China and brought us back a literal candy store full of snacks.
Unbelievable amount of snacks.
I'm going to tell you guys right now, if you are one of those weirdos that hate us talking about snacks.
Tough shit.
Yeah, tough shit. You're probably just going to have to turn this one off because it's a lot of snacks. You guys know we only record Kissing Contests every other week now. So I can't have these snacks lingering around for more than one or even two episodes if we vomit, like, during round two of this, but because you know the snacks don't last forever, so we have to do them all
in the cold November rain.
So we're gonna attempt to do them all today. We split them up between sweet, salty, and weird. These are all snacks from China.
Weird,
isn't that weird? So yeah, there are a lot though. So each snack section is gonna have its own segment, and we'll hopefully get through them all. If you're a member of Podcast Town, you probably saw the picture I posted, and it's a. It's a whole lot of snacks. It is probably about 50 snacks. So, you know.
7.5 pounds of snacks.
7.5 pounds of snacks. So strap in for that. It's going to be a wild ride. And as I said, we're going to be reviewing some records for the first time. And I think I got one email, and we are also, Mark and I both saw Guardians of the Galaxy Part 2. So we're going to talk about that briefly after I read this one email. But if you
want. One email?
I think one or two. Maybe zero, actually. Yes. I lied about the emails, guys.
Great. Thanks. Thanks, everybody.
We got emails from listener Evan, and they are regarding the Music Hostage that we're about to do, and he started making us playlists.
Oh,
for
cool.
If we want to continue Music Hostage. So maybe that's what we'll do. We'll dip into Evan's playlists for next episode of Music Hostage.
You guys had more than a week to send these emails.
Yes. And I pleaded today on Twitter. I hate using the Kissing Contest Twitter, but I used it and I said, hey, send us some emails. And Sarah from Logical Contraption made fun of me.
Great.
And I think Doan made fun of me too. So,
okay. Well, neither of them are even on podcasts.
I know. So, so that was nice that they made fun of me, but you know, what are you going to do? So we don't have any emails.
Thank you,
Evan, for making these playlists. We will go over them. But we saw Guardians. Oh, if you want to email us, which you don't, but if you do, if you change your mind. You can do so at kissingcontest666@gmail.com.
Plenty of space in the inbox right now.
Yes, there is so much space. You can go to you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter at Kissing Contest, or you can join Podcast Town and speak to us directly. Mark appears every now and then. He makes up some weird excuse why he needs Facebook again, and then he disappears.
I just jump in.
Yeah.
Just dip my toes in.
Just dips his toes in a little. But yeah, so email us, kissingcontest666@gmail.com, with your thoughts or whatever you want to email us with. But yeah, we saw Guardians of the Galaxy separately. We didn't see it together.
That's right.
I assume everybody that's listening to this has seen Guardians of the Galaxy 1. I'm not going to get into spoilers with Guardians of the Galaxy 2. This is not that type of podcast, but I enjoyed it a lot. I thought it was almost as good as the first one. There was a couple nitpicks that I had, mostly that I think they really shoehorned in that soundtrack this time. I was just hovering under being obnoxious. Like, it wasn't super obnoxious, but it could have got there. It wasn't as obnoxious as the Suicide Squad, say. But at the same time, the Suicide Squad used, like, all modern aggro abrasive music. So this is still, like, 70s easy listening tune, so it's hard to get, like, too upset at it. But still, they were
so
just
calming.
Yeah, they were just, like, really reaching to add those in. My only other nitpick is about the ending, and I don't want to spoil the movie, but the whole movie, like, builds up to this big reveal, and the ending kind of negates that reveal. But, you know, the ending was basically formulated to make you cry, and I don't have those emotions inside of me, so it didn't work on me, but I understand why they kind of negated the whole rest of the movie to set up that ending. But outside of that, I thought all of the good definitely outweighed the bad, and I honestly cannot wait for them to make another one of these movies. I think they're doing such a good job with them. I hope they never get bad. I hope they start making them once a year or something. Also, I guess the only other thing I would say, and this is a minor spoiler, but there's no Thanos in the movie, and they kind of set up in the last one, which was now years ago. And I haven't watched the last few Marvel movies, so I don't know if he's in those other movies. But
Parker,
yes, Parker, can you alert us whether Thanos makes an appearance since the last Guardians of the Galaxy? But it's kind of weird because I think he's supposed to have like his own series of movies where he's the bad guy. So I was kind of expecting him to show up in this one, and he didn't. But yeah, outside of that, I thought this was great. There's some cool cameos that I won't ruin for you if you were like a major, aggro spoiler alerter person where you don't want anything to be spoiled for you. But yeah, it was super good. 5 stars all day. What did you think though, Mark?
So I was a latecomer to Guardians of the Galaxy 1, but ended up absolutely loving it. I saw it 3 times in the theaters, so I was incredibly hyped about Volume 2. I went and saw it in a suburban movie theater with 2 screens. One was showing it in 2D, one was showing it in 3D. So I saw it in 2D in the middle of the afternoon on a Sunday, so it was full of children, literal children. And I have to say that for there being so many 6-ish-year-olds in this movie theater, there were a lot of dick jokes, a lot of casual swearing. I definitely don't think this is as good as the first one. There was plenty of stuff that I really, really liked. I loved that there was more Nebula. Mm-hmm. I'm big into the High Priestess of the Sovereign. We see you.
Yep. I will, since we're just turning into male dogs right now, sure. I will say that I think Nebula was way hotter in the first one. I don't know if that's just
her tude.
I just don't know if that's my imagination, but I feel like she wasn't wearing like a steampunk vest in the first one, but I mean, maybe I'm just imagining that. I'm not really sure.
I thought, like you, there was some odd music choices for this one, whereas the first one seemed kind of more natural almost. Yeah. This one definitely seemed like, oh, here are some other songs.
Yes.
I always like hearing The Chain, so that's okay. The sets were really cool. Like you said, some good cameos. I thought there was a little too much winky fan service going on. And because they did that for basically every character where they were just like, look, now this character's doing that thing you like again. They weren't able to kind of flesh everybody out as much as they were even in the first one.
Yeah.
And I thought that it could have been way more interesting in that aspect. But overall, I had an enjoyable time watching it. I'm sad that the last of the 5 credit sequences was so stupid.
Yes.
But overall, I'd say 4 stars all day.
My other concern I forgot to mention was that Baby Groot was in the trailer a lot, and I was like, oh boy, this is they designed it just to look like a Funko Pop, and I was just like, that's bad news. But, you know, it's not as annoying. There's a whole opening sequence with it where I was just like immediately like, this is going to suck. But they balance it out. It's not as annoying as you would think. And Dave Bautista, who plays Drax the Destroyer, does an amazing job as Drax the Destroyer because he's a very monotone man anyway. So he just nails it.
He was great in this.
I like the Mantis character. I just can't wait for another one.
And yeah, I'm absolutely excited about Volume 3, but my expectations were probably way too high.
But yeah, like, if the music is, like, if you guys remember in, like, around, I think, the mid to late 90s, when people still bought soundtracks, every once in a while when a soundtrack got super popular, they would release a sequel to that soundtrack, which was just like lesser music.
The Romeo and Juliet soundtrack.
Yeah, they did it with that. The Wedding Singer.
Probably Trainspotting.
Yes, probably Trainspotting. And I would always just be like, oh, here's some more songs that are like those other songs that you like from that movie, but they're not as good. And yeah, it was kind of like that. But whatever. It was great. Go fucking see it. If you haven't, I'm sure you have. I will say, though, I went at Monday at 1 p.m. and I think I saw Suicide Squad at a similar time. And Suicide Squad was packed, but not Guardians of the Galaxy. It was like just a handful of people, but I don't know what's up with that. Anyway, I bought audience member Dave a fidget spinner today, and he just got
his
it.
Life is forever changed.
He has autism, so it's now quells his autism. That was a bad joke. I'm sorry, guys. Not everybody plays with a fidget spinner has autism. Some people just have ADD. So we are going to be talking about some records that, you know, if you haven't listened to the last episode, that's weird, and you're listening to this one. So go back and listen to that one to see how this got set up. But we're going to be talking about some records, and I'm going to do mine in chronological order that I'm going to review. But first, I wanted to go over the three of Mark's that I didn't pick. I forgot to write down all their names.
Great.
So, fuck. What were the ones I didn't pick, Mark?
You didn't pick Sword Heaven.
Sword Heaven. And what was Carabiner?
What?
What was the other one? The one with the name you said changed all the time?
Oh, Caroliner.
Okay, Caroliner and Sword Heaven both go in the same category. They're both kind of experimental noise music, and that is not my shit at all. And as soon as I heard it, I was like, I don't want to hear your fucking stupid art project. I want to listen to music. I hate experimental noise shit. I will say that Sword Heaven shit sounds like either something you would either... if you were murdering somebody to cover up the sounds of you murdering somebody.
Okay.
Or as a contrast, it also sounds like if you want to fantasize about murdering somebody, you can probably listen to that and get down. Like if they made an 8mm director's cut and changed the scene where Machine is chasing Nick Cage through his house and he puts on, I think it's like a Nine Inch Nails record or something.
Yeah.
If they change that to Sword Heaven, I think that would fit perfectly.
I'm sure somebody will do that edit for us.
Yes. I put that on at like 9 a.m. at work, and I was just like, this is too fucking intense for me. I can't fuck with this.
Wow. What about the Twink record?
Think Pink. I was kind of excited to hear that, and that's what I was gonna review until I heard that White Noise record, and I had more notable things to say about that.
Okay.
Think Pink is like a psych rock record, and I'm usually down with psych rock, but I learned from this Think Pink record that I think I'm more down when it's like curated, when somebody picks out all the good songs. Because listening to that full record, I was just like, this sounds like if, you know, somebody said, oh, I have this old psych rock record, and like what you would imagine in your head. Like, it just seemed very generic to me. I'm sure it's some notable fucking record, but just all the songs in a row, I was just like, oh yeah, it has that kind of like sitar sound there and just like all the other shit. And and so, yeah, so like, you know, it was decent to me, but it just wasn't notable. So
too heady.
Yes, it was too heady. So I did go, okay, yeah, White Noise and Electric Storm. I pulled up the Wikipedia page so I could sound professional. Electric Storm is the debut album by electronic music group White Noise. The band recorded the first two tracks with the intention of producing a single only, but were then persuaded by Chris Blackwell of Island Records to create an entire album. I will say that's notable because one group by the name of Insane Clown Posse was on Island Records at one point.
That's
so you could say White Noise was label mates with Insane
ICP,
Clown
Posse. Yeah.
That's a good footnote there. At this point, the group...
You should definitely update their Wikipedia.
Well, at this point in the group set up at the Kaladophon Studio in a flat in Camden Town, London, and spent a year creating the next four tracks. It's a long time for these four tracks, but the last track was put together in one day, and it shows when Island demanded the completion of the album. A brief extract from the record, The Black Mass and Electric Storm in Hell, can be heard in the Hammer Film Productions film Dracula AD 1972. So yeah, I liked this record a good amount, I would say.
Okay, that's cool.
This is from 1969, and usually, like, when I first got into collecting records or just buying records and buying, like, getting into weird music and finding out about weird genres of music, I would always fall for the records that were, like, you know, the first instance of electronic music, because I'd be like, oh, I'm going to find some weird shit on here.
Sure, yeah.
And it would always, like, the ones I'd always get were, they would just sound like somebody hooked up a bunch of Ataris, and I would just be real bummed out. So I kind of gave up on this kind of, like, proto-electronic music a long time ago, and I wish I heard this first, because this was actually pretty good. It's basically, where's the personnel? Yeah, it's basically just a percussionist and vocalist, and then electronic sound realization,
mm-hmm.
which I don't think you gotta realize. Yes, I mean you can hear synths, but there's like samples sort of, but I don't think there were samples back then, so I'm not really sure how that works. But you know, it's a good sound. It's kind of like poppy. It's classified as avant pop, and I guess that would be a good term for it. I think it shows that the first two tracks were meant to only be the single, because those are definitely easily the strongest tracks
on here.
Yeah,
those are the bangers for sure.
Those are the bangers on here. I think those two are good mixtape fodder if you want to like flex nuts and just be like, listen to me, listen how weird I am. You want to put this on there, people will be into it. I checked this on Discogs. It is a pretty fairly expensive record. This is like a wall record. Like, you could still probably find this and come up on it for like $40 to $50, I think. So it's not too bad as far as collectability goes. I thought that Flea song was real dumb. Here Come the Fleas. At the same time, in 1969, it's probably almost revolutionary. But
right? Yeah.
You hear it now and you're just like, what the fuck are you doing, man? the Black Mass and Electronic Storm in Hell was the song that was supposedly written in one day, and it really shows, because it's just real bad drumming and just bullshit noises for 7 minutes.
And agree to disagree.
I don't know, that's not my shit. I hate jammy shit, and this is like the worst jammy shit ever. They don't really have like a sci-fi sound or anything, but I could definitely imagine if they were tasked to be on a talk show or something, they would make them wear spaceman helmets to play their music. I don't know if that ever happened. I was expecting, while I was listening to this, I was like, I bet LP sampled this at some point. LP has not sampled this, according to who sampled. The only notable band that did sample this was The Orb, which makes sense. But yeah, like, the only other people that sample this are other weirdo electronic music artists, and I was kind of surprised. Not saying there's any like grooves or breaks on here, but anytime
you didn't rap over any of it?
No. Anytime I hear any like oddball music, I look on who sampled, it's always LP, but LP did not get his hands on this. But overall, if I was grading this on a 5-star scale, give this a high, maybe 3.75 stars.
Okay.
It was pretty fucking good. I'm glad Mark brought this to my attention. I don't know if I'll ever listen to it again, but
sure.
But you know, I'm glad I did.
Yeah, well, I tried to pick stuff that you wouldn't actively hate.
Yeah.
So I actually am not doing these in any particular order. So my first one. I should mention that the three that I did not listen to from Mike's jukebox were. And that's not to say that I didn't listen to them, because I did listen to all of these, but the three that I'm picking are not these three. So Section 8, 9 Ways to Say I Love You. Mike, everybody in the room is shaking their head currently. The whole audience ready to throw chairs at me because I didn't pick Section 8. We did listen to even more of this before the show, and it just didn't grab me as much as some of these other ones. Today is the Day, In the Aww. Eyes of God. Didn't pick this one. And also Suicide Silence, No Time to Bleed.
I could see you not picking that one.
Yeah.
I should mention...
A double bass there.
Before you get into this, I should have mentioned at the top that if all goes well, I will be putting these records as bed music under us talking about them, so you guys have a clue, because I know you're too fucking lazy to go to Spotify or YouTube
and
check for yourself, so I'll put them as bed music.
Okay. So the first one that I wanted to talk about is Life of Agony's 1993 album, River Runs Red. This is a Brooklyn band. They're classified as alternative metal, and I would say it's an alternative to metal. this is a concept album about killing yourself.
Yes.
So starts off with a song about how tough it is that your dad took off and started a new life.
With a new wife. Yeah.
Right. So there's this kind of vocal style that's, I would say, like a cross between Typo Negative and the Melvins.
That's good, yeah.
Which is a little weird. I feel like the little skits of the kid coming home were pretty interesting. So on this album, there are tracks Monday, Thursday, and Friday. And this chronicles this teen's descent into depression and having, you know, just a really shitty home life, and ultimately deciding to end his life by slitting his wrist while listening to this album.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was a kind of interesting choice. The song After Monday. So Monday he comes home and his mom's like pissed off and the baby's crying. He goes up to his room and his girlfriend broke up with him on the answering machine. Because he has his own phone line. So he's getting all these phone calls.
Yeah.
So then the title track, River Runs Red, starts off with no time to wait. I got this razor on my wrist. So I think, you know.
And he can't resist.
Can't resist.
He got this fever burn in his fist and it comes without wits.
Okay.
When he gets downtown and he sees what's around.
Then what?
I can't remember.
Okay. So then there's a few more tracks, and then Thursday he comes home, and he has not only been fired from his job on his answering machine by a super rude boss, but then his principal or guidance counselor or somebody calls him and leaves a very informal message about how he's not going to graduate because he's failing two subjects, and he needs to see her in her office. 8:30 Monday morning, but he's not having that because Friday he comes home, his mom's screaming, he smashes up the kitchen, he hulks out in the kitchen, and then he slits his wrist in the bathtub, and his mom finds him, and she screams and screams, and it kind of fades out with this watery sound of him kind of fading away. This is a super dark record, kind of the pinnacle, I think, of this like 90s. Like, I'm so mad. You unload the dishwasher. I have to say, I enjoyed listening to it.
I am probably
never going to listen to it again. But the whole time, I was like, oh, this is a really thought out, really kind of thought out thing here. And reading about them, I thought was pretty interesting. They reunited and did this whole album. So I'm curious if they did the skits and stuff.
I don't think so.
That's tough. It really ties everything together. So yeah, I had never heard this before, except here, you know, just in passing and us talking about it and stuff. So I had no real frame of reference. But yeah, listening to this as a complete piece really kind of lends itself better, I think, than just kind of jumping around. But yeah, it's definitely from 1993.
Yep. Yeah, this was my go-to Teen Angst record back then. This and Nine Inch Nails. Downward Spiral, of course.
Sure.
They put out a record after this called Ugly that came out, I think, right on my birthday, and it was the biggest disappointment in my life at that point because it's fucking terrible. And then shortly after, Keith Caputo, the singer, left the band, and they replaced him with Joe from Ugly Kid Joe. I don't know Ugly Kid Joe's name. So the only time
I assume it's Joe.
Yes. So the only time I saw Life of Agony was at Bogey's in Albany with the Ugly Kid Joe singer for $1. It was like a 104 The Edge show. So it was
for
like,
$1?
Yeah, it was like $1.04 to get in. And all he did was talk shit about Keith Caputo the whole time. And it sucked because the singer from Ugly Kid Joe, who's from California, said Albany is like my second home. But of course, he pronounced it like every out-of-towner pronounces it and says Albany is like my second home.
Albany.
So you usually mispronounce your second home. and then I think they were... I don't think they ever recorded with him. I think Keith came back. They might have made one more record. Then Keith turned into a lady. I don't know his lady name now, her lady name now. But then they just recently put out a new song, and it's real awful.
Yeah. So. Super, super surprised about that.
Yes. So that's the first round of record reviews. We are going to take a little break. And we'll be back. What do you want to do? Sweet or salty first, Mark?
Let's do salty first.
We're going to do salty first. We're going to get into Alex's snacks from China. Do salty. It's a whole shitload of fucking snacks here. I got a translator set up because there are a lot of shit's not doesn't show up. So we are going to dig into these snacks, and we'll be back talking about a whole shitload of snacks. We'll be right back. Snack chat.
Are you desperately trying to cram one more salty treat into America's already bloated snack hole?
Hey, now, Slayer.
Okay, we're back here on Kissing Contest. This is the salty section of Alex's snacks from China. Thank you once again, Alex, for all these snacks.
Thank you, Alex. Thank you, China.
Yes, thank you, China. I was very stressed out. I was like, I can't believe this man sent us all these snacks. We have to do him well. That probably means I'm probably mentally unfit to ever have a Patreon, because if people ever actually gave us money, I would like probably just stress out about it too much and get anxiety. So this is, like I said at the beginning of the show, this is a lot of fucking snacks, guys. So we're going to be talking about snacks for a minute, but... Daniel's here. He's going to be...
Yep, I'm full.
Daniel's full from round one of snacks. So this is the salty snacks. So first we're going to go over the Lay's chips, the Chinese Lay's chips that Alex brought us. I'm also standing up right now, so if you hear background noise, it's because I'm standing up amongst our gigantic coffee table full of snacks right now.
Tell us if you can tell that Mike is standing up.
Yes.
New contest.
Let us know. I'll sit down and stand up periodically. So give me timestamps of when I'm sitting and standing. So the first Chinese Lay's are Italian red meat flavor.
Mamma mia.
And I think all of these Lay's, yeah, it's pretty much the same layout where it is a...
Lay's out?
Big, thick-ass potato being chopped into chips with whatever the flavor is right near that big, thick-ass potato. This is just a big bowl of fucking meat, red sauce meat. Spoiler alert, I know all you guys love these. I can't really, like, I don't know, I don't taste any red meat in this. It just kind of tastes like a slightly sweet tomato sauce chip.
Yeah.
I wasn't really over the moon with these, but, I mean, they're okay.
I would say that they're interesting. I can't think of an American Lay's chip that compares to this flavor.
I know from being a seasoned Snacks Chat veteran that a lot of foreign chips don't flavor their chips as much as we do because we're all pieces of shit. Who need maximum extreme flavor
need
all
the blast.
Time. So I'm sure in China, these are probably like robust in flavor, but...
That's Hospitaliano.
Yes. I could have used a little more flavor. But what do you guys think?
Yeah, I don't dislike these. Like I said, I think they're interesting. I think it's a unique take on a flavor for a chip. It does not so much taste like a meat sauce, like a big tomato sauce.
Hey, mamma mia.
Hey, but I do think they're good. But if in a blind taste test, I would not have said, hey, that's some my mama's sauce. So I don't know. They're fine. These are fine.
I don't hate the idea. Is this a normal Chinese dish, Mike?
No, I think they're just trying to riff on Italian red meat, basically.
Well, it feels like they used ragu and they should have used Prego.
Yes. I feel the same way.
Homemade taste?
Yes. The sauce flavor is a little off.
Yeah. I don't think they have. Ragu is probably the highest end sauce in China. So
yikes.
Okay. Next up is Lay's roasted squid flavor. And again, this is a picture of a thick ass potato with just a squid laying on top of it. Big roasted squid. These actually surprisingly smell great, which is weird coming off of a squid flavor. And they taste good too. They're not too fishy. I think they hit that balance of actual squid flavor and not fishiness pretty good. Again, another thing I've noticed being a seasoned Snacks Chat veteran is that they usually get these nuanced fish flavors a little better than anyone in America, I think, would ever do.
Weird.
Yeah, I know. So these are pretty good. Again, if you're not a fish chip fan, they're mild on the scale of fish chips, but there's still enough fish taste in there where you might be disgusted by them, but... For a fish chip, these are good. I know, I can't remember offhand, but I know we had some kind of like Taiwan like seafood soup flavor that were like a number one all-time fish chips. These are on the higher tier, but again, I wouldn't go out of my way to get them or anything. I'm not fiending for these or anything, but they're pretty fucking good if you like fish chips. What do you guys think?
I'd make a special trip for these. I think that they're delicious. These are definitely... I, I'm hesitant to say what my top of the heap was out of the salties.
Okay.
But this was way up there for me. One of my favorite dishes at my local sushi place is the roasted squid. So this, you know, if they're closed or something, I can munch up a bag of these chips, feel satisfied.
These are disgusting. It's a solid one trash.
Daniel.
Not a big squid head.
Daniel is a fish hater, so he hates fucking
fish. It tastes like fish if you just threw like Indian spices on it.
That's a good comparison.
It's gross.
Next up is, these didn't have an American name on them, an English name, so I had to use my translator. And it said fragrant spicy flavor. So that could mean anything, honestly. But, you know, you open these, they are fragrant. They fucking have a smell to them. They're spicy. They're good. I don't know what the flavor is supposed to be. I'm going with some kind of crab salad or something because it kind of has a faint fishy flavor, but also like a creamy mayonnaise flavor in there. but yeah, the spice, I don't know. It's like a different kind of spicy than you're used to on chips. And these are fucking super good. I wish I knew the exact name so you guys could figure it out yourselves. I'm going to try and take a picture of all these and post them up somewhere so you could see.
Didn't you already do that?
I took a group photo where you couldn't really make out everything, but.
Are you going to really let each item shine?
I'm going to let each item shine. But yeah, these are fucking great. Like I said, I think it's supposed to be some kind of crab salad or seafood salad mixed in with these, but they're really good. They're spicy. They're creamy. Honk, honk. They have some robust flavors. So I was super into these. What did you guys think?
Yeah, also deeply into these. Got a nice spice on the end. Kind of a Szechuan flavor. I thought this was some sort of like spicy soup.
It could be.
Especially based on the back where they're pointing at various ingredients. Kind of looks like a soup.
Yeah.
So who knows what the actual flavor is, but they are indeed fragrant and robust. And these are also very high up on the list for me from this section of the snacks.
I'm going to be honest. I think we ate so many snacks, I forgot what these ones even taste like.
These are the spicy ones. They're very spicy.
I don't remember anything being all that spicy.
Oh, tough guy.
So, yeah, I don't know.
You want to try them again?
No, because you just described them as fishy.
No.
And crab salad.
No, that was Mike.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm trying to get a better...
Oh, well, if Mike needs to stall, I guess.
It says something like, this is some kind of New Year's Eve type of dish.
All right, well, Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah, in China.
It starts off with a slight canned tuna fish flavor.
Yeah, there's some kind of fish flavor. It's some kind of New Year's Eve dish in China, I would assume.
These are not spicy at all. I'm not even trying to be a tough guy.
They're kind of spicy.
Yeah, a little spicy.
Maybe you got a bad batch.
Got a weak chip.
Next up is the Lay's cucumber flavor. Once again, just a thick-ass potato with a bunch of cucumbers on it.
And which, man, a lot of people don't know, the cucumber is a potato's enemy.
Yeah, it's
the enemy of the potato.
The enemy of the potato. Because they're kind of like, when you slice them, they kind of look the same, but different. I don't know if we've ever had cucumber chips on the show, but... I'm gonna say it. These, out of all the salty snacks, these are my king of the hill.
Whoa,
hey, number one.
Wow.
If you ever want a potato chip that tastes like cucumber, and I think we had like some kind of like cucumber salad potato chip.
We've
on
had
this.
the tzatziki ones.
Tzatziki, yeah.
Yeah.
But these are just like, they straight up taste more like a cucumber than they do a potato chip. I don't know how the fuck they do it, but as far as like hitting the mark, man, these are fucking great. Potato chips, if you love cucumber, if you hate cucumber, you are going to absolutely hate these chips. But yeah, these are definitely my favorite out of the entire batch of salty snacks.
Wow.
They're great. And again, they just basically taste like you're eating a cucumber on a crunchy chip. So if you ever wanted that feeling in your mouth, honk, honk, these are the chips to do it for you. What do you guys think?
I'm going to let you guys in on this is a little inside baseball here. I actually ate real cucumbers over the weekend. I think these chips are awful. These taste like weird chemicals to me.
Oh,
I don't
man.
Think they taste anything like an actual cucumber. Probably. Or a potato. So I'm not sure what these are, but they don't taste good to me.
I'll tell you what these are.
All right.
These are a bang count it.
Bang count it.
Wow.
Bang count it.
Dang.
Yeah, it's like almost as on point as those midnight cheeseburger Doritos.
Yeah.
As far as nailing what they were trying to taste like. So fix your taste buds.
Maybe you,
I guess. Maybe I just had too many real cucumbers.
Maybe you ate some rotten cucumbers.
I bet you
did. That could be it. Yeah.
Okay, so we'll agree to disagree on that one. Two bank counts, and Mark, who's probably never eaten a real vegetable in his life, is trying to tell us what vegetables taste like all of a sudden.
Yep, yeah, you're right.
So next up is Cheetos brand, seaweed-flavored Cheetos. And before all of you plebeians out there go, ooh, sweet seaweed-flavored Cheetos, when they make special-flavored Cheetos in other parts of the world, it's not still the cheese flavor of the Cheetos. They just take the club, take the cheese out.
Club.
Yeah. That's, what do you call it? What do you call the Cheeto?
I mean, Cheeto.
A club. You know what? I would have just called it a Cheeto. I would have just called it a Cheeto, but it is a club.
You You're guys right. sound like guys who don't eat a lot of party mix. If you eat party mix, you'll know on the back sometimes they call them clubs.
Save me the clubs.
Yeah, they'll call
Save
them
Save me the clubs and the ride chips,
yes,
I'll say.
Yes, they're called clubs because Cheetos is
you
a brand
name. You
can
have all those dry
it's
ass
like
pretzels.
A Q-tip is not always a Q-tip, but sometimes it has to be a cotton swab.
Like a Kleenex.
Sometimes a Cheeto has to be...
You don't get arrested if you call an off-brand Q-tip Q-tip.
Anyways, these cheese clubs, these are just the club part without the cheese of the Cheeto.
So they're not cheese
clubs. Well, they're just the toes, not the cheese.
Yes, it's the it's just the toe part.
Yeah.
So these are seaweed-flavored clubs or seaweed-flavored Cheetos.
Toes.
These are pretty good. I will say they could have went a little harder on the seaweed. I know that sounds kind of weird because you don't want too heavy of a seaweed taste, but these are pretty fucking good. Maybe mix these, maybe make a spicy seaweed flavor, or maybe hot seaweed.
You should do a YouTube channel where you just make different party mixes, Mike.
Oh, man, that is a fucking... I'm quitting this show. This is the last episode of Kissing Contest.
Wow, R.I.P. Kissing Contest.
Exotic party mix.
Party mix city is my next venture.
You just do different party mixes and talk about men's rights.
I guess I could put that part
just,
in there.
Just wedge it in. I think it'll...
So Chester Cheetah is still on these. It's not like, you know, a Chinese knockoff of Chester Cheetah. He's wearing a cowboy hat on this, and he's wrangling in these seaweed Cheetos. But yeah, they're pretty good. Like I said, maybe go a little harder on the seaweed next time or add some spices, but they're probably not as gross as they sound. What do you guys think?
I think these are great. However, the whole time that I knew that these were just waiting for me to try, I was like, man, these cheesy, seaweedy snacks are going to be so good. Because I definitely thought that there was also going to be cheese on them.
Because you're a plebeian.
Yeah, because I'm a plebeian, okay. But I also just love cheese. So these are great. When you guys should definitely check out my new YouTube channel where I just make different party mixes. It's going to be big.
Yeah.
I left off the men's rights thing. That's really Mike's department. But no, I think these are fantastic. Definitely in the upper echelon as well. So
did not expect these to be as sweet as they are.
Yeah, sweet.
But they're still very good. I did not expect cheese because I'm not.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. I didn't realize you guys
are
so worldly.
I've had a few exotic Cheetos in my life.
I'm sure.
Okay, next we're moving on to the next brand, which is Glico. You guys might know Glico if you're into Japanese snacks. They make Pocky and they make Pretz. I saw this box. It's shaped like a Pretz or Pocky box, and I immediately thought this was just going to be a knockoff because there's so many knockoffs of those things. These are called P-Joy, P-E-J-O-Y, not P-E-E or P-A-E-A. Joy, just because P-Joy would be a totally different kind of snack that I would not be into because I don't have that kind of fetish. But these are P-Joy, and they're shaped like Pretz, which are just like a long cracker stick. The first one...
They're not clubs, though?
They're not clubs. This is just a long, straight, hard, thick cracker stick.
They not come very more, thick.
Yes, not that thick, actually. the first is tomato pizza
flavor.
It doesn't
matter, guys.
So I thought these were Pretz. If you guys are not familiar with Pretz out there, Pretz are just like a long, thick, stiff cracker stick that is just covered in flavor powder.
Into the descriptors.
Yes. These P-Joys are filled with like kind of like combo stuffing in the middle, which is kind of...
That's generous.
Yes. That is kind of weird because they aren't really that thick. They are honestly almost like a potato stick.
I describe these as combo 100s.
Combo 100s, yes. They're like if Misty's, like the Misty brand cigarettes, which were the long, thin cigarettes that some women smoked back in the 90s. These are like the Misty's of combos, I guess. So these are basically a cracker filled with some odd pizza filling. It does not taste like a pizza.
Does not.
It tastes like some just weird processed cheese.
It tastes like it was a pizza at one point.
I don't really expect much of pizza-flavored snacks from around the world because, I mean, it's pizza.
Because we live in New York.
We live in New York. Forget about it. Even the pizza on the cover of it, it just looks like somebody like imagined what a pizza would look like, and they made it. So these are not that great. And once we get into the other ones, I will say these are the best of the bunch, but it's not really saying much. So these really aren't that great. What do you guys think?
This is what I imagine people think that dogs think pizza tastes like. It does not taste like pizza. It has a weird, like, tomato with spices flavor in it that I think if you were like, oh, this dog treats smell pretty good, I'm going to try one. This is like that's what it would taste like. These, I think, are maybe the worst of the three of these flavors. And we'll get into those other two. But Derek, what did you think?
This is the worst snack of the day.
Really?
And we didn't get to the weird part yet.
Yeah, right.
And I have a feeling this is going to be really the worst.
The pizza is the worst
of the
out of all these snacks.
It tastes like they got their tomatoes from the same place as Mark got his rotten cucumbers. It just tastes like a fucking puked up pizza.
Oh my God.
It's horrible.
Strong words.
That's fair enough. But speaking of puke, is the next flavor. Which is just cheese flavor. Mark used to be a cheeseman. I think that's what they're called.
As a cheesemonger.
A cheesemonger. So what kind of cheese is this on the cover? What do you think that is?
That's like a raclette looking sort of cheese.
No one knows what a fucking raclette is.
That's the stuff where they
melt it. Yeah, Mike, you missed two kinds of chips, by the way.
Okay, we'll get back to those then. We're gonna backtrack a little. So
audience member Dave's really mad.
He's like, I can't believe you didn't talk about
this. He put down his fidget spinner for this.
So these cheese flavor ones. So these are the first of these pea joys I tried. And again, I was expecting Pretz. So I bit into them and got a very intense, disgusting, soft cheese flavor in the middle. Just like, I don't know. It brought me back to like just being like little.
He made a noise when
he did make a noise. Yeah.
This is, oh my God. I think this is for me the worst out of the bunch out of these. Cause this is just like too intense of a shit cheese. These are fucking gross. I can only eat one of them, and I don't want to go back to get a better look at them. But these are fucking gross. I hope this is what Chinese people think cheese tastes like. This is fucking nasty.
These are good. I liked them.
Nope.
I thought like I said, they're not as good as pretzel cheddar combos, which are the pinnacle, I think, of that sort of thing.
See, that's
you're never going to do better than that.
When I was little, for some reason, I hated like cheddar flavored things, and my grandpa used to eat they're like these waffle chips that would have like cheddar in the middle.
Oh yeah,
and they kind of remind me of like if somebody vomited up those.
Okay,
put them. Yeah.
Yeah, these are like a cracker with fake like cheese, like essentially like easy cheese.
Yes,
in the middle, but it's supposed to be like a
putrid
fancy
easy cheese. Yeah,
fancy easy
fancy
cheese.
Putrid.
I thought these were fine. I would consider. If I was like near a store that was near a movie theater, I would maybe get a box of these to eat during a movie instead of buying snow caps. Not that I would buy snow caps. Yeah. Oh, wait, sidebar. Did you get any snacks during Guardians of the Galaxy?
No, just a soda.
Oh, okay. I had nachos.
Oh. Have either of you ever bought a hot dog at the movies?
No.
I did once.
Did you get booed out of the...
Why would you get booed?
For fucking carrying a hot dog into a movie.
They sell them there. It's not...
I don't know.
Mike waited till it was dark, and then he went in with his hot dog.
These were fine. I don't know. The fact that you're more offended by these than the pizza ones is fucking amazing.
Yeah, that's mind-blowing.
I guess.
These just taste like a cheap... I don't know why. These all just taste very cheap, and it's a company that's like...
Yeah.
Like, Pocky's pretty good and doesn't taste like cheap bullshit.
Yeah, I think they let their shitty stuff go to China, I guess.
But it tastes like those little... They're probably clubs. Yep. You would get in the little package when you're a kid with the cheese. You dip it in that, except it tastes
like a handy
like a cheap
snack.
Version of that already cheap. Yeah, the handy
snacks.
Yeah,
the handy snacks.
Okay, so the first time around, I missed this Lay's flavor. This is, again, not...
You almost got a whooping for missing this. My worst
flavor. Yeah, not in English, these, but I was told these are yogurt flavor. And this is it shows like a plate of chips with just a white goo in a little ramekin next to the plate of chips. I guess you could assume it's also yogurt, even if you don't speak... And again, this has the kind of the same packaging on the back, so as the fragrant spicy chips. So I assume this is some kind of New Year's Eve treat. This is just straight up yogurt on a chip, and they get it right. It tastes like yogurt, but guess what? No one wants a chip that tastes like yogurt.
Yeah.
That's a real fucking gross combination. These are fucking gross. Add something to them. Add some fucking fruit. Even make a blueberry yogurt. I don't know. Just fucking plain ass yogurt. As gross as it is, I don't need to add a potato chip to that. These are fucking nasty. Thumbs down.
I like yogurt. I don't like these chips. Although I would challenge you to try these with the cucumber ones and see if it just tastes straight up like tzatziki.
Let's do that. Let's do that now.
This was really just a trick to get Mike to eat more of these yogurt chips.
They're so gross.
Yeah.
It just tastes like fucking warm rotten milk.
They're pretty bad.
Ugh.
I actually didn't hate the way these taste, but the way they look and feel.
Yeah, they feel wrong.
They feel like, like they actually just let them dry in yogurt.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, they're kind of like wet. Like they're wet at one point.
Fucking weird. So overall, they suck.
Yeah, not great.
It's the last flavor of Pea Joy.
Keep chewing, Mike.
Is was everybody's favorite corn soup flavor. Corn soup is basically just like a creamed corn soup, if you guys aren't familiar with corn soup. And corn soup is gross because I'm not a big fan of corn. And
the band corn, though.
I love the band corn, but the food corn, I like corn on the cob every once in a while, but definitely do not like steaming hot, warm, mashed up corn in a soup consistency.
We should microwave these.
Yeah, we should microwave them. But they get it right. It's that filling definitely tastes like some nasty cream corn. One of my most hated, all-time hated foods in my life. But I guess if you're into it, it's good. But they're fucking super gross. I still wouldn't say they're as gross as the cheese ones, but they're not for me.
These are my favorite of the three Pea Joys.
That's because you're a fucking weirdo.
I always get the hot and sour soup from Vanessa's. At the movies, I always get the hot and sour soup. No, I always get the hot and sour soup at Vanessa's, but recently I've switched over to their corn and chicken soup.
Oh my God.
It's delicious. Corn and chicken soup at Vanessa's. Good. Yeah, so good. So I like corn soup into these. I think they are the best of the three Pea Joys.
These are pretty good. It's weird eating corn soup out of a
straw.
Little cookie tube, though. It's very uncomfortable. I wouldn't take these to the movies, but I would eat these shamefully in comfort of my own home.
Well, there you go. Moving on to the random salty snacks. There's only a few, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really only like three.
This is Four Seas brand. These are chips. These are honey and butter flavored potato chips. If you're a longtime listener of the show, you know I'm a noted butter hater. And these sure do taste like butter. And not enough honey in these. These are a little too rich for me. These are, I just ate another couple pieces of them, and I really regret it. It's now my fucking mouth tastes disgusting. I hate these. I hate butter. And I was hoping these tasted more like honey. But I guess if, you know, you're in a bind and you really like butter and sweetness, but also saltiness, these are for you. But I do not want to ever taste these again in my life.
Mike, I never would have made you pose so close to that butter statue that one time.
I know. I like butter statues. I love butter sculptures. I just don't like eating the butter.
All right.
These were fine.
Fine.
They were very rich. They were too buttery, but I don't know. They weren't offensive to me.
They taste good. They're just too heavy for a chip. It's
yeah.
Very, I'm not looking
for
that.
These aren't a chip you want to eat before working out.
Next up is a brand I couldn't make out because they use a cartoony font, which my translator does not read. And the most I can make out is this is supposed to be some kind of vinegar flavor, and it says fried puffing food on it, and it has a white kid on it going nuts with his eyes all googly. one pupil's north and the other one's south, and he has a long tongue hanging out, and he's just like, whoa. And these are basically just Chex. I guess they're supposed to be some kind of vinegar flavor Chex, but they're very mild.
Yeah, they don't taste like anything.
Yeah, they kind of just taste like plain ass Chex. I feel sad for any Chinese kid that has to eat these, because there's probably something better out there for you.
Yeah. They don't taste like anything.
Yep.
Okay.
Lastly, rounding out the salty is Four Seas again. They made the honey butter flavor. These are Four Seas seaweed snacks. These are wasabi flavor. These are just strips of seaweed, and they come in like individually wrapped strips. So when you put them out, it looks like kind of like film, which is pretty cool. Pretty cool effect that you guys can't see because this is not a visual podcast.
I assure you guys, these.
Yeah, these look really cool.
They look really cool. I don't know.
You know, you eat with your eyes first.
I don't know what kind of person who eats seaweed snacks only has one strip, but.
Yeah,
you know,
for real.
Maybe if you're on a diet and that diet does not consist of zero calories.
Hey, I'm on a I'm on a seaweed diet. I see weed and I eat it.
If you're on a sub-zero calorie diet and you can't even eat a lot of seaweed, you know, you can only have one strip a day. But these are pretty good. They're fucking spicy. They're great. If you like seaweed snacks, I've had some seaweed snacks in my life that are actually too spicy. Amount of spicy. These are fucking good. Yeah, but I mean, you get these all over the fucking place. It's not any different from any other seaweed snack.
Yeah, these just taste like wasabi seaweed snacks. They're good, though.
Yep.
I don't eat seaweed.
Yeah. Daniel's a big no on these. Yeah. Things. He'll eat seaweed Cheetos, but actual seaweed, fuck that.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Oh, all man, right. My fucking hands reek of this honey butter chip. Ugh. Anyway, that was it for the salty snack. Guess what, guys? We only have two more rounds left. And, just as many snacks, so we're going to take a little break. We're going to be back reviewing another couple records, and then we'll see you in a bit. Be right back. Okay, we're back on Kissing Contest, and we're going to talk about another couple records. We'll do the snake style, so we'll let Mark go first this time.
Okay.
So, what was your next record, Mark?
The next pick that I have is Quicksilver. Quicksand. Quicksilver Messenger Service is a dad band. They have a song called Edward the Med Shirt Grinder. We did not talk about.
That was a movie, too. Quicksilver with Kevin Bacon, where he plays a bike messenger.
So, this one, Mike was shocked that I had never heard.
Yes.
This is an album from 93 as well. They are from where? Massachusetts?
I mean, Walter lived here. I don't know where they lived when they recorded this. Yeah. Probably New York.
This album was recorded in
New York. Okay. Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Don Fury. Oh, okay.
This is a post-hardcore. This album, I'm also a little surprised I never heard. And listening to this front to back was pretty interesting. I think they make a lot of weird choices with this record. One thing that I will say is there are points in this record where they get like pretty spacey, kind of weird, and I wish that they did more of that, because I think I would like this record a lot more if those parts were kind of more, if they explored that sound a little more. And there's, I guess on Can Opener, they have this, like, spooky bell in the background, which was cool. I did not really care for the vocalist's voice.
Okay.
But I really liked a lot of the music. And like I said, the parts, and there's, like, a part in Phaser where they do this. There's a part in one of the other later songs, maybe Baphomet. Yeah. Where they have these like big spacey parts where they like leave their delay on and just let it kind of like build and grow, and then they bring it back to kind of that same sort of sound. And I just wish that there was more of the exploratory kind of stuff going on. But overall, I did not hate this. I think I would have straight up loved this in high school, or I guess this would have come out when I was in middle school. So like 8th grade Mark probably would have been like super into this.
Yeah, much like most of this music, for you younger folks out there, time was simpler and slower back in the 90s. So it would take you like a couple years to actually hear these. So I don't think I heard this. I might have heard this in 93. I probably heard it in like 94 for the first time, though. But yeah, either way, this was a big one for high school. For me, this was like when I was just getting into non-rap music. And at first, I didn't understand this. I remember my friend Jay played this for me, and I said, "Is this grunge music?" And he said, "It's sort of like grunge music." I didn't know. I was that much of a little simple bitch back then, where I didn't know the genres of music. And I slowly got into this. I think I said this on the last episode, but I think post hardcore hides a lot of horrible music underneath that genre. Like pretty much, post hardcore means you were in a hardcore band at one time, and now you want to make some money. For Quicksand, I don't know if it really meant that. Walter Schreffels, basically the mastermind behind Quicksand, the singer and guitar player, used to more famously be in Gorilla Biscuits. And then after Gorilla Biscuits, he had a band called Moondog that really didn't do anything. and then he did Quicksand, and I think all the parts Mark liked in this are the stuff that they probably added once they got that Polydor Records budget, because I would say the first Quicksand record, which is an EP that was on Revelation, is a bit more simplistic than that, so I would not recommend that to Mark. But yeah, this is overall one of my all-time favorite records. And I know listening to it now, like fucking 20-some-odd years later, that it does sound pretty 90s, but I still love it, and I think everything Walter did after this is kind of garbage, outside of that Civ record, which he like secretly wrote, but outside of that, I think everything he's done is just got progressively shittier. There's a couple of good songs off the next Quicksand record, Manic Compression, but otherwise, this is the pinnacle of Walter Schreffels. Okay, so the next record I had a review or listened to was Comus, First Utterance from 1971. Again, I'm on the Wikipedia. First Utterance is the debut album of the progressive folk band Comus. It was released in 1971 with the opening song Diana being released as a single. First Utterance was notable for its unique blend of progressive rock, folk, psychedelia, and elements of paganism and the macabre. The overall thematic tone of the album is a vulnerable innocence facing abusive power. The song's dealing with violence, rape, and insulin shock therapy. These themes contrast starkly with the acoustic sound of the record, featuring acoustic guitar, violin, flute, and lyrical, almost Arcadian female harmonies. References to Comus by other bands and artists include Opeth, citing its lyrics and album and song titles and tattoos. Experimental outfit Current 93 also covered Diana as the opening song in their 1997 LP, Horsey. So, I might have not meant to not review this, and then I ended up doing it because I did want to review it because the YouTube explanation says prog rock, and I was like, I'll check this out. I like the cover. Does it say this? Yeah, the cover artwork was drawn in ballpoint pen by Roger Wooten, lead singer and songwriter of the band. I know you guys can't see the cover artwork, but I am always like, anytime I see anybody do like some real intricate shit with ballpoint pen, I'm just like, I don't even know how the fuck you do it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
I don't know how the fuck you do that. I know you're probably using some special ass ballpoint pen, not that those Bics you buy at Staples, but like, I'm just like, I've tried to do ballpoint pen stuff before, and I just like, I was never taught how to do it, so just trying to teach myself is just like impossible. So I was like, I gotta check this out because I'm really into that shit. And the first song on this is Diana, which is definitely a banger. But again, it says it's described as prog rock on the YouTube thing, and I would not describe this as rock because there's no electric guitar in it. And I think that's probably a critical part of rock music is having an electric guitar. So I was like, I wonder when that electric guitar kicks in, and it never does. And so the first song is pretty good still. You're just like, this is pretty fucking cool.
Feeling it.
It's pretty trippy. You're just like, yeah, I could definitely fucking smoke weed and probably do acid to this song. It'd be pretty fucking sweet. And you can tell this is from 1971 when the cool thing about music before probably the mid to late 70s is it was still, much like movies up until Jaws came out, there was no like template for music or movies. So Dick is still the Wild West in 1971. You could do whatever the fuck you wanted on the record and you'll find somebody to put it out. So the big part of this record that really fails is after the best song on the record, they put two fucking noodling around fucking jerk off songs that are like 10 to 12 minutes each. The second track is like a 12 minute bullshit jam session with no fucking vocals, and it's terrible. And there is no record label on earth that would put out something like that now. So the next two songs are fucking terrible. Mark, are you familiar with the band Iceburn? Did you ever hear Iceburn?
No.
I think you might like Iceburn. Iceburn was a band on Revelation Records that for some reason or another got lumped in with hardcore bands, but they played terrible jam band music, fucking stupid instruments like this band, like oboes and shit, and you're just like... So you would, every once in a while, when you're going to shows and you're seeing like real bands like Warzone or something,
sure,
you would have to sit through Iceburn for some reason. And these guys sound nothing like Iceburn, but it just reminds me of that kind of jammy bullshit. So after those two bullshit songs, they kind of pick it up again on side B. I will say for 1971, this again, there is no real electric music. It's all violins and flutes and acoustic guitar. But the vocalist doubles up his vocals, which in 1971, that must have been fucking revolutionary. Who the fuck was doubling up their vocals on some folk music in 1971? So that was, I was pretty impressed by that, because I'm sure people listened to that back then and thought it was like fucking witchcraft that he fucking put his vocals on two tracks, because like, who the fuck would think of that? So I commend you a lot for Comus for doing that, because he probably blew people's minds. The flutes and the violins on this, they break into some like pretty catchy melodies here and there, and I have a feeling that the flutist and violinist probably had aspirations of being a better band than Comus at some point, and somehow got locked down into this dude's bullshit. This Roger Wooten was like, "You stick with me, we're gonna go far." And
the Misty Mountains.
And these guys are just wanting to be in some kind of jazz band, and they just fucking ruined their careers. I forgot to mention the critical reception on this. Reviews were favorable. An NME praised this as highly unusual but fascinating sound, and Time Out said the overall effect is unique. But sales were small, and the band dissolved after the album's released. Early biographies of Comus said that the postal strike was one of the reasons that the album did poorly. However, none have provided an explanation for how a postal strike would have affected one's particular album sales, which is a good point, because I think it just fucking failed because it's a weird record. The final track is pretty good. Like, there's a female, as this says, almost Arcadian vocals on this. It's the final track is The Prisoner, and I will say those vocals save that track from being absolute bullshit. I would definitely check out Diana if you need to just check out one Comus song. Again, I checked Discogs for this. This is a record no one's getting their hands on. High end on this is $1,600 for a first pressing. First UK pressing. You can get a first US pressing for a little cheaper, but this is never showing up on your record store's wall. So if you find this Comus record, you're coming up, man. If you find this at a fucking flea market by accident or something, buy this immediately. You buy a new car with it. But yeah.
Or send it to me.
Send
new contest. Find me an original UK pressing of this first Comus record in at a junk sale and send it to me.
But overall, just for Diana, I'll give this 3 stars alone. That's a banger of a song. But yeah, overall, there's a lot of jerking off on this record. But it's interesting for 1971. Like I said, the doubled up vocals are pretty insane. But yeah, so didn't hate that I had to listen to this, but it's definitely not my shit. So we're going to take another break, and we're going to be back talking about Sweet Snacks
Sweet
from China.
Sweet Snacks.
We'll be right back.
Real Sweaty.
Okay, we're back here on Kissing Contest, and I'm standing once again. So this is the sweet portion, but we fucked up, and something snuck in that was savory, and that was Taikang brand. That's from my translator, so sorry for listening out there, Taikang, and I got your name wrong. Taikang chicken crackers, I guess? There's a chicken on the fucking cracker, the cover, so... Sorry, fucked up. These are from 1914. All right, I don't think they're from 1914, but...
Don't worry, Mike. I turned my cell phone. Okay. You tried to silence me.
Yeah, I tried to silence Derek. But these are just crackers that taste that have a chicken flavor to them. These are actually really good. They taste like a way better chicken and a biscuit, which I've always been a fan of chicken and biscuit. So
weirdo.
I wish there was a whole sleeve of these instead of just a tiny... airport snack packages, but these were actually pretty good. What do you guys think of the chicken crackers?
Yeah, I didn't like these.
No.
No, thought they were weird. I don't like chicken and a biscuit crackers either. I'd rather just eat some chicken and or biscuits.
Well, la-di-da, you could afford those things, but some of us yeah. can't, and they need them in one thing.
Pretty much exactly what Mark said. My grandmother would probably love
over
these.
Here.
My grandmother would eat them.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, I'm going to eat the whole rest of the fucking bag when we're doing record reviews. I'm going to just chomp all over the microphone. So the real main event, we're going to get right to it, is Alex was nice enough to bring us not one, not two, not three, but 4 boxes of Chinese Oreos. And for those people on the internets like Facebook that are like, oh, is Oreo making all these stupid flavors? You should check out these flavors in China because they're way stupider. I'm going to start off with the least stupid flavor, which is a green tea ice cream Oreo flavor. These are decent. I mean, they taste like they have that kind of green tea-ish taste to them, but they have a, as I told these guys, they have a good toothpaste back end to them where they get kind of minty at the end. I'm not too into that. But again, and I don't dunk my Oreos in milk, so I can't judge with a milk or anything, so I don't know. I do not want to put any of these fucking flavors in milk, though, that's for sure. But these were decent. Like I said, I could deal with the minty aftertaste, but Daniel doesn't agree with me, but I don't think they put as much cream, honk honk, in the middle of these Oreos as they do in America. But
you're just spoiled with your double stuffs, Mike. I'm telling you.
I don't get double stuff.
He gets the big stuff.
I don't get the big stuff either. I don't know. You guys are fucking, I don't know.
Mike gets Oreo thins.
Either way, these are decent. Green tea ice cream. I think these would be the most likely to show up in your Asian grocery store over all the rest of these flavors, but they're okay. Nothing to write home about, but they're pretty decent. I'd eat them again.
I love Oreos. All four of these are bad. These are all terrible. I was pretty hyped about the prospect of a couple of these that we'll get into. This, I guess, was maybe the least offensive, but still doesn't taste good.
Do you like the other wacky American flavors of Oreos?
I don't really go in for those, no. I mean, when they make the regular cream orange at Halloween, that's about as far as I'll go.
Did you ever get to have the Fruity Pebbles Oreos?
No.
Those surprisingly
were a true bank count.
I mean, I love Fruity Pebbles.
Yeah, so. They were surprisingly, I thought they were going to be the worst flavor of Oreos ever, but they were surprisingly
okay.
One of the best of all time. All
right, well, I would try those if they crop up on eBay. However, these were all terrible. I'll get into them each individually. This was maybe the least offensive, like I said, but I would never sit down and eat a sleeve of these. I wouldn't even eat one more of these, probably.
Wow.
These were pretty good.
Yeah.
They really do taste like tea.
Yep.
Which was kind of weird at first, but once you get used to it, it's fucking pretty good.
I might break my no milk rule.
I don't even
rule.
Drink tea.
Yeah. Might break my no milk rule and get some milk for these Oreos. Maybe some non-dairy milk.
You can get some cashew milk.
Macadamia
nut milk.
I don't know. Do they make soy milk still? Is that a thing?
They still make that, yeah.
Maybe I'll get a soy milk. Next up, so the next three are fruit flavor combos of Oreo. I don't know how far in the Oreo revolution China is, but mixing two fruits together seems pretty wild ass to me, where it's just like, maybe just start with one fruit. We don't need two fruits to combine. The first is orange mango, and this might be a surprise to you guys, but these are my king of the hill.
Ooh.
Hey, number one. I don't know. They taste like something to me. You guys mentioned those orange chocolates that people hate.
Yeah, you smash them on the wall.
Yeah, I don't know if that's what these taste like to me, but they do taste like something from my childhood that I don't know what, but I fucking love these a lot. I don't know if these would not come anywhere near a glass of milk, because that would be disgusting. But, you know, if I had to pick a favorite out of all of these, and out of all these snacks, these sweet snacks, this is, spoiler alert, the rest of them we're going to get to weren't that great, but, I like these. They're pretty fucking good. These are the only ones that I would probably eat regularly. Not over normal Oreos or even Fruity Pebble Oreos, but I did enjoy them. Mark, why did you hate these?
We would get the orange chocolate things in our stocking for Christmas every year, and I like those, but I would usually eat it too fast and get like sick of it, which is why I probably only had one a year. This is like the distilled version of that, and it just like... I don't know. I think that because the chocolate orange is orange and chocolate mixed together, and these, like Oreo chocolate is a very specific taste and texture in terms of the cookie. These do have less cream in it. Honk, honk. but that might not necessarily be a bad thing because these are all so gross. Also, I like mangoes a lot. Don't need it in my Oreo. I just don't.
Yeah.
I don't get why they were like orange and mango.
It's definitely, I think the rest of the world loves mangoes more than we love mangoes, that's for sure.
Daniel?
These are pretty good. I don't know, these are all fine.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really say much about any of these. They're all Oreos.
It does taste like those old things you smash on the wall.
Yeah, okay, so that is what they taste like, and then maybe they just bring me back to a simpler time, and that's why I enjoy them.
Okay, the 1950s.
Yeah. Next up is raspberry blueberry flavored Oreos, and this is probably the flavor I would least like. If I was in charge of making the fruit combo Oreos, this is probably the flavor I would choose the last, because who the fuck eats raspberries? No one eats raspberries.
Oh, I love raspberries. I also had raspberries this weekend.
Yeah, sure.
Real ones?
Yeah, real ass raspberries.
I'm going to taste these again, because I...
Oh.
Why do you hate these, Mark?
They just don't taste good to me. They're like overly sweet. They don't taste like raspberry or blueberry.
Those Oreos are too sweet, guys.
Oh my God. Yeah, these are bad. I've been saving my true venom for this last one that we're going to talk about.
Oh, me too. Yeah.
Yeah. These were the ones I was most hyped about, because I was like, oh man, raspberry and blueberry Oreo, this is going to be out of control. And they're just bad.
Yeah, I don't say they're bad. They're just like inoffensive. They're two flavors I don't really give a shit about that much. Blueberries are good in like pancakes. I don't know what else. Blueberry parfait, maybe. I don't know. Raspberries, fuck them. No one needs raspberries.
Wow.
Anyways, these are a bang counting.
Oh, man.
Whoa.
There you go.
Best of the Oreos. Best of all the sweet snacks and the salt snacks so far.
Dang.
Wow. I would not put those over the cucumber chips.
But I think these you could definitely throw in a glass of milk, I think.
Yeah.
Daniel is a blueberries fan, I believe, though.
Yes, I do like blueberries.
Okay, next up is grape peach. This looks like a green or white grape, maybe. I guess it's a green grape. I'm colorblind, guys.
It's actually rainbow, Mike.
Rainbow. Rainbow.
Mike can't see rainbows, guys.
Rainbow grape. It's not a blue grape. It's definitely a green grape.
Grapes are purple.
You would think these would probably be the best of the bunch. They're not. They're fucking gross. They taste like they're overpowered. They smell so strong. Such a strong smell. They smell like grape bubble yum. They taste like grape bubble yum. But just if you scraped, like if you spit out a piece of gum or just a spit from your mouth after chewing a grape bubble yum into an Oreo, much like how John Joseph from the Cro-Mags was fed when he was a kid, when they chewed up Oreos and spit them into his mouth. Just imagine you're John Joseph and your stepmom is chewing up an Oreo to spit in your mouth.
Just mama birding it too.
But she also has a piece of grape.
I don't think that's the exact story.
Somebody, Sawyer, back me up on this. I'm pretty sure there's a story because it's unforgettable.
There's a story like that, but I don't think it was spitting Oreos
in
his mouth.
Dude, that was when I listened to the audio.
They made some kind of shitty sandwiches for him.
Yeah, but it was spit. It was like, as I remember
listening. It involved spit, I believe, but.
I remember listening to the audiobook and going, this guy's full of shit. But, yeah, either way, it tastes like somebody spit up some great bubble yum onto an Oreo, and it's fucking nasty. And, the Chinese, you should be ashamed of yourselves.
These are the worst of the four. Yes. This straight up tastes like somebody is trying to trick you by putting a bunch of hookah tobacco in between two Oreo cookies and being like, oh no, it's grape and peach. This is one of the nastiest things I've maybe ever had on Snacks Chat for sure. And we had those Russian snacks a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
this is worse than that.
I would not go that far.
Yeah. It smells awful. It smells like your worst Lyft ride. And like I said, yeah, it straight up tastes like somebody is trying to trick you by putting hookah tobacco in an Oreo cookie.
These are really good.
Really? Wow. So Daniel and audience member Dave are divided on the good side. But
yeah, I guess so. Daniel's over there in his like harem pants and his, like curly shoes with the bells on them.
Okay, next up. Next is just a bunch of random shit that's not really that notable, but actually there's one very notable thing I'll say for last. The next up is a brand I couldn't make out.
Starting with at least notable.
Yeah, the back said something about naughty candy, according to my translator, but I don't doubt...
What's your translator's name again?
It's just, his name is Mr. Translator.
Oh.
It just said, yeah, it said like naughty candy. I'm sure that's wrong. I don't think they would call Kenny naughty candy. This is a yellow bag, a yellow, orangish yellow bag with a nerd on the cover. A little face of a nerd with a fucking pencil behind his ear like a fucking nerd. This bag of candy, they're hard candy, individually wrapped. They come with a postcard.
It's a nice postcard. Maybe we can send it to...
with Alex. To
Alex
say
for...
thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it says after departure. Trying to get any... No information. Sorry, guys. Either way, these are some candies that taste like artificial banana. They're like artificial banana hard candies. They're okay. I don't really need an artificial banana hard candy, but if I did, these would be my A number one brand. Yeah, these would be good to leave around the house, maybe in a nice candy dish or something.
These are poison. These straight up taste like if you let honey rot and then you put it inside of a hard candy that has no discernible taste. It does not taste like bananas. I love banana Laffy Taffy. I like fake banana taste. I like real bananas.
The back says something about being flavored with grape juice. So.
Yeah, I don't think that's true either.
These are definitely not banana flavored.
No, these are very bad.
As a fake banana flavor connoisseur, I don't know what the fuck these are flavored like.
I don't know then.
But they're very unremarkable.
Next up was just a brand of generic cigarette candy. If you guys are from the 1950s, you probably remember cigarette candy. This is a candy that came in a little box shaped like a Marlboro box. These say smoke candy on them, which is a fucking cool...
Smoke candy.
Yeah, that's a cool slogan. I'm going to keep this box for the rest of my life. Chinese cigarette candies are fucking not as good as American cigarette candies, which is saying a lot because American cigarette candies are fucking nasty too.
Yeah.
Yeah, these are just a chalky, gross candy, and they're not good.
These are way harder than the ones I remember as a kid.
They taste like the Fun Dip stick, yes. But not as good.
Yes.
I am challenging Mike on air right now to smoke one of these candy cigarettes.
That's pretty good because we're going to do some bong hits of that weird candy later, but there's no candy left. I can't smoke any.
Oh.
Yeah.
I only licked this one.
No. I don't want something you licked. Oh, here we go. I'm gonna smoke this candy.
All right, awesome.
I don't have a... One of you guys had a lighter for me?
I only have a candy lighter.
Okay, here we go. This is on air, guys. There's a filter on these. It's a very long filter. It's like 48%.
It's like the fifth element.
Yeah.
It's a trick lighter. I got him.
With the lighter charles, it won't work.
I know. It's broken.
I guess I can't smoke it.
Here's the real one, Mike. Okay.
Here's a real lighter.
Gothic King Cobra, this one's for you.
Surprisingly, it won't work, but it smells like burning plastic, which is...
not a good sign.
That's not a good sign.
Did you actually think you were going to be able to smoke it?
Hey, I mean, the other ones, you could blow smoke out. Oh, yeah, it smells like burning plastic, all right. Just leave that in the ashtray for the next person hard up for a cigarette.
You can save that up for cigarette news.
Yeah, there's a lot of recalls. So next up is a brand I can't make out, but...
We'll just call it Warheads.
Yeah, it's sour candy. Again, but not very notable. There's three bags that Alex was nice enough to send us. One was mango, the other one was strawberry, and the other one was...
Cherry.
We each just tried one because they're hard candies and we don't have time for this shit.
We're busy.
Mango ones taste like a mango Warhead. They're fucking super sour.
Yeah, they're very sour.
Mike had to leave the room.
I did have to leave the room. I was making some who noises because I'm not a fucking 8-year-old on the playground and I don't really fuck with Warheads anymore. But, you know, has that same kind of shit to them.
Yeah, I had the cherry. They were good. Very, very fake cherry flavored.
I think I had strawberry. It tasted like a Warhead.
Okay.
Next up is... Quang Ki Pao brand, I don't know, Baquir 100%. There's a lot of fucking shit on these.
These are cola candies.
These are cola candies. It's a very festive cola candy. This is a really cool package.
The packaging is intense as
hell. Yeah, it's dope.
And it looks like blunt wraps come in it.
It does look like a blunt wrap package. There's two soda can cartoons on this, and they look faded as hell. They just look like they've been fucked up all day, and they're having a good time. And, yeah, they're just generic cola candy. Wait. Oh, it says something on here. Hold on.
Mike, do not eat.
May the breeze bring you tenderness and warmth from the fat from and warmth from me far from each other. We may be, yet still you are here at the bottom of my heart.
Bear with him, guys. He's still learning.
Yes. So,
wow, I can't believe you just read that Chinese.
Yeah, I just picked it up. So that's a nice sentiment about the warmth from the bottom of your heart.
That
for,
is nice.
A cola candy with two faded soda cans on it, but
these were delicious.
Yep,
I loved these. These were maybe my favorite of the sweet snacks. Although I didn't say it when we did the salties, the roasted squid probably my top of the heap.
Okay, last up is the most amazing packaging and But what I was most looking forward to is apparently in China, somebody makes a chocolate condom. This is supposed to look like a Duralex box of condoms, but it's Duralurx. And they're strawberry flavored. And on the package in English, it says chocolate. Chocolate is better than sex. And sex is all caps. So you know they mean business. And yeah, sure enough, you open this box and there's little condom-shaped packages and little condom-shaped chocolate candies, chocolate strawberry candies in them. And they use maybe the absolute cheapest chocolate known to man. It just tastes like fucking chocolate-flavored wax with some strawberry flavor in them. They're not good for chocolate, but as far as the novelty goes, I don't think anything will beat this packaging. Another packaging I will keep for the rest of my life.
Yeah, great packaging. This also is unsurprisingly horrible taste. Yeah. Doesn't taste like chocolate, doesn't taste like strawberry, doesn't taste like white chocolate or whatever else it's supposed to have in it. It's very, very bad. I don't think you're actually supposed to eat these. I think you're just supposed to like chuckle at them.
Yeah, yeah.
These actually aren't that bad. They taste like strawberry quick, and if you're into that, these just aren't that bad.
Fair enough. Okay, guys, we're gonna take another break and we're gonna be back to review some more records and then finally wrap it up with some more snacks, some weird snacks. This is going to be a long episode. You're getting your money's worth this time around. So, okay, we'll be back talking about some records. Okay, we're back here on Kissing Contest for our final round of record reviews. My final record that I reviewed from Mark's Jukebox of Records is a band by the name of Flotation Walls from Columbus and their record named Nature from 2009. I'm going to spoil this this review and everything I say after this. Right off the bat, I was listening to this. I was like, I like this. It's pretty good. I want to learn more about this band. And they're not like, you know, they're probably maybe popular in Columbus, but I don't think they reached any popularity outside of Columbus, so there's not much about them on the internet. But the one thing that definitely sticks out about them on the internet is that the singer and founder of the band and multi-instrumentalist of this band was convicted for child pornography a couple years ago. So everything nice I have to say about this record is completely ruined by that. It's weird, though, because they're not, like I said, they're not a popular band, so there's not much about his child pornography conviction on the internet. The one thing I read was trying to make him out to be like a victim, and I was not down with reading that. But otherwise, this record starts off, one of the first instruments you hear on this record is an accordion, and that is never a good way to start off a record with an accordion, because that's some bullshit. What really sticks out to me about this record is that it's has really great production, especially for something that I assume, as far as I can tell, was self-released. And I don't know if this was pressed to like any kind of physical objects or anything, but to lay down this type of money for this, I mean, even we are conditioned at this point to be listening to music through Spotify or YouTube through shitty iPhone headphones, and even with that quality, you could tell like the production is top notch on this. It reminds me of a lot, not so much music wise, but it has that same production sound of like mid 2000s, like indie, not in so much like, I guess mid 2000s, what you would assume was post hardcore, a lot of fucking wet noodle music that our friend Tony would be into, or it was just like bands like Copeland and Shaosin and Chiodos. Like, I wouldn't say these guys are like those bands, but I would not bat an eye if they played the same show at one point. These are more multi-instrumental. It took me a while to figure out what it was, but a lot of the arrangements and vocals, the vocalist definitely has like a very theatrical cadence, and I would say a lot of the arrangements of music is very cinematic, and it took me a minute to figure out like what was going on, because I was like, yeah, this is like, it sounds like sort of familiar, but in a different way. And I found out this band Flotation Walls formed in 2007. Basically, this one child pornographer guy was the mastermind behind this band, and he got these other people together to form this wacky band where they all wear the same outfits and shit, play a lot of odd instruments. I figured out was that the Arcade Fire's Funeral came out in 2004, or 2005, a couple years before this band was formed and made their version of Arcade Fire's Funeral. It's definitely different. It's a little sunnier sounding, more like Beach Boys almost, but it's definitely that same vibe, the same kind of vocal cadence, the same kind of odd instrumentation. I would say this was heavily influenced by that Arcade Fire record, which isn't a bad thing, because I actually do enjoy that Arcade Fire record, even though it's very uncharacteristic of me. But yeah, it's like it's good. It's really good. I was very sad to find out that this guy was in child pornography, because otherwise I would say this is a bang counted all day. It's very great music. I also read that shortly after this album came out, all these dudes and ladies quit their full-time jobs to tour full-time off of this, which is like a bad move. I don't know if the singer of this band is some kind of like cult-like charisma or something, but to trick a bunch of people into quitting their jobs to tour off a self-released album from an unknown band is fucking ridiculous, especially in late 2000s when you should know way better by then. So it kind of sucks. I mean, it does have that big like major label. This should have been an 8.7 on Pitchfork Sound, but I guess it never worked out for them. And that definitely did not work out for the singer. Mark, did you know that this guy was caught for child pornography?
I did. And I was wondering if you were going to find out or if that was going to be like a big reveal here when we talked about this record. That was pretty sad when I found that out.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, I'd seen this band a million times in a bunch of different kind of iterations and lineups and things. I feel like they were around before. I know you said 2007, but I really feel like it was before that. They had some singles. They had some 7 inches.
Okay.
And definitely were around at least somewhat, and certainly not with anything as high profile as even as this record, which did get pressed to physical media.
Okay.
And I think I mentioned this in the last episode. Some of these songs they had for a lot longer and then kind of ended up on this record with the other pieces kind of surrounding it. Like Worms was an older song. Willis the Fireman was another one that was around, I feel like, for a long time. And yeah, it was kind of a bummer when somebody told me the story of Carlos and what kind of ended up with him. But I don't, you know, like I said, know exactly what happened, but it doesn't sound great.
No, it doesn't.
It is unfortunate that this band didn't get bigger, I think, because, like I said, this record is super good. And you mentioned the production value, which I think is through the roof. And yeah, I'm glad you like this.
Yeah, I would say definitely check it out if you're into, it's classified.
It is very theatrical.
Yeah, it's classified as experimental pop, which I would say all day. That's 100%. I would say definitely check it out if you're a person who could separate the artist from his crimes. But yeah, it's a 4 stars, four and a quarter. All you had to even go. It's a pretty fucking good record.
All right. The last band. Last record we're going to talk about is a band from Baltimore, Maryland, and their 2000...
Duck, motherfucker.
They're... What?
Welcome to Baltimore, duck, motherfucker.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Their 2015 record, Nonstop Feeling.
Yes.
This is a band called Turnstile.
It sure is.
This is a record that I had never heard.
No.
What did you say the hit off this was?
I wouldn't say there's really a hit off this.
I thought when we had talked about it before, you said one of these songs was like their like big song. This record sucks. This whole thing sucks. It like cannot decide what it wants to do or be in terms of style. There's like... There's
you could kind of say their turning style throughout.
Yeah, you might say that. There's one.
There's a lot of teens and 22-year-olds that listen to this podcast right now. Are that like they're gonna fucking slice you with a straight razor?
Fucking fight me if you are like super deep into Nonstop Feeling by Turnstile, because this record fucking blows. There's a lot of going on and a lot of like real snotty singing over like extremely overproduced instrumentation. There's a song which I guess it's Love Lasso. No, Blue
Bayou.
Bayou is the real like whiny fucking emo song.
Yeah.
And then there's another one that's just like instrumental, which is Drop. Drop is another. It's just like a real brief interlude. And then Bad Wave, where he's like, I got a real bad wave. I got a bad wave. I'm upset about it. And then the last song is called Stress. He just talks about how stressed out he is. This record sucks. I actually listened to this again on the bus ride back today from Philadelphia, and I was like cracking up. I'm glad there were only like 8 people on this bus back, because I was like losing it listening to this record, where they're just like, oh, okay, now like I'm gonna start to rap, but then I'm gonna stop, and I'm gonna get back into my like snotty punk guy voice, and then you can just like get a little emo in there, get a little sing-songy, sweeten it up. I think Mike picked this to punk me.
Like I said, this is a record when it came out a couple years ago. It was very popular amongst the hardcore kids.
Weird.
And it's like very polarizing, because it's a record, like I said, for me, like I understand why I like it, but I don't understand why kids like it. But I like it because it like captures a moment in hardcore for me where people didn't really know what the fuck they were doing. And it's very weird that sound got like popularized in 2017 when people clearly know what they should be doing by then. But like, so it's kind of weird like that kids really latched onto this. There's another band called Twitching Tongues that kids latched onto where I was just like, what the fuck? They take all of the bad elements of Section 8 and Life of Agony and just multiply them by thousands. But yeah, Turnstile is a band I latched onto because I was just like, yeah, this is pretty cool that they're making this shitty music. But like I said, I don't understand why kids like it, but I'm glad that you're a impartial person, and you can tell it like it is that this actually sucks.
Yeah, this is bad. I would like to point out, and you said it when this came out in 2015, you were pretty into it, right?
Yeah, like I had heard them before. They had other records before this.
I noticed they'd been around since 2010.
Yeah, yeah.
But did you see them on that 2015 tour?
I did.
You did? Yeah. So you also saw Newfound Glory.
Oh, no. I saw them on a much smaller tour than with Newfound Glory.
Oh, I see.
They're a headliner on what I saw them on. Yeah, yeah. So there you have it. There's the records we reviewed. Let us know if we did a good job, if you'd like to hear us review more records.
Fight me if you love this Turnstile record so much.
Evan, maybe we'll dip into your shit. We don't have the next episode planned. I am just amazed we got through all these snacks, because
we still have the weird stuff.
Yeah, I know. We still have the weird stuff, but I was planning on just doing part two of these snacks, but we actually did it so far, unless we vomit in this next segment. But until then, we're going to take a little break. We're going to eat the weird snacks. Isn't that weird? And then we'll be back talking about them. We'll be right back. Okay, so we're back here with the final segment.
Oof.
This is the weird section. Should have probably did this on air for the reactions, but this is also would benefit from a more visual podcast, because a lot of these, my translator is just like, fuck off, I'm not reading those.
He's a real dick.
He's a real dick, Mr. Translator. First up is a product from Thailand. It's a fish snack. It's cuttlefish flavored strings, I guess. It comes in, if you're familiar with an Asian market, it looks like a cuttlefish snack, where just long stringy shit. The back shows a microwave or a pan. So I think maybe you can either eat these out of the bag, or you can microwave them, or cook them up in a pan. I don't suggest any of this. This is a very hearty cuttlefish snack.
Why don't you zap one in the microwave?
You want me to do that?
Yeah.
Okay. There's also maybe a sexy Jamaican woman on it. I don't know what the fuck that girl is supposed to be. But Daniel's too much of a bitch to eat these.
Maybe after we zap it.
Yeah, so I'm gonna let Mark take over for a minute, tell you his feelings on these, and I'm going to go put one in the microwave for a few seconds. I'll be back.
10 minutes.
just zap it for a quick 10. These taste like most or any cuttlefish or like dried fish snack. The consistency is really weird because they're all very even shreds of this fish. So I'm not really sure how that happened. But overall, not bad. They really think you're going to eat a lot of these because the package for this has like a shit ton of these cuttlefish strips in there. So I'm not sure if people are really just chowing down on these or if you're supposed to mix it with other stuff or what, but
Mike Dick looks so sad.
Mike just ate some of the hot ones. Man, it's a hot one.
Oh, they're hot.
Well, it's hanging out of his mouth.
They're so worse. They're so much worse when the Mike leaves.
Oh my God.
Maybe it's different there.
It tastes like you just got them out of the sea.
That's good. They're fresh.
Yeah, that means they're fresh.
Oh, they're so fucking gross. Definitely do not put these in the microwave. I do not suggest it.
All right, Mark's turn.
What, to put them in the microwave?
Yes.
Oh, these are so fucking gross. There you go. I only put them in for 10 seconds.
Okay.
You could put them on this.
Go for 10 minutes, Mark. I'm telling you.
Okay, so next up is another package I cannot read. It's Zhen Zhang brand. My translator said something about Jubilee Hong beef. This is very interesting. I don't know if this is normal in China, but we got a couple snacks lined up like this where it's kind of a jerky, but it's kind of...
It's not that hard like or that tough.
Yeah, it's more of like a scab, kind of like it's a morsel, kind of like more of like a skin. I at first thought maybe... Mark's really loving that microwave cuttlefish. Let's see. What's your reaction?
They're much worse.
They're much worse. Okay. So all around the board, do not microwave your cuttlefish snacks. They make them much worse.
Jesus.
No matter what the bag tells you to do. So yeah, these Jubilee beef hong things are like, yeah, they're like, they feel like a scab. You chew on them. They're like a kind of a scab texture. they're like a spicy beef flavor, like a very shitty spicy beef. Maybe if you went to the worst restaurant in Chinatown, you would get this quality beef. But again, you know, beef jerky, sometimes you're pressing your luck. You don't know what the fuck you're getting. So I guess if you're into beef jerky, try these. They're definitely not the best, but they're not the worst. If you really like a spicy beef flavor, what do you think, Mark?
I thought these were weird, but not bad. I ate three of them. Mm-hmm. You are right that they look and feel like scabs. So since we can't figure it out, I'm assuming these are some sort of cow scab that they harvest in China and then fry them up or dehydrate them or something.
Definitely a cow scab.
These are horrible. You go in expecting jerky. You get what appears to be just grilled meat that they just put in a package. And the seasoning is not a seasoning that I think I want on beef jerky. It's very strange.
Okay.
I can still taste it. It's really gross.
So next up is something my Mr. Translator is like, I'm not reading that. I cannot read this. But it's another scab.
What do you pay him?
He's paid very... He's not very good with Mandarin or Cantonese, so... He's not as good at translating as Mark is at doing accents. Yeah. Can you do a Chinese accent, Mark?
Yeah.
What does it sound like?
It's super good. Okay. My throat's kind of... It's a little weird right now. Cuttlefish. Just because of the cuttlefish.
Okay, fair enough. So yeah, again, this doesn't work without like the visuals, but it's a white bag.
Looks like a cat food bag.
Does look like a cat, Fancy Feast? Fancy Feast bag.
It feels wet inside if you squeeze it. I thought this was going to be like a paste.
This looks like maybe even more like scabs, like actual fucking
I refuse to eat this one because it looks like skin.
It looks like human skin. These are actually really good though. They taste like... Kind of like, it's a chili pepper. It's right on the cover, there's a chili pepper, but it tastes like in some kind of Indian...
It's flea. Yeah.
They're wet, though. Like, when you bite into them, you get a nice moistness. If you want to really gross somebody out, you could, like, maybe put it on your arm and pretend you're peeling it off and then eating it on the train or something.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do that tomorrow at work.
You should, yeah. Or just, like, pull it out of your, like, shirt sleeve.
As I said to these guys, they really clean out your snot locker. If you get a nice spicy piece, they just go like right up your nasal passage. But yeah, these are pretty fucking good. I enjoyed them. It's unfortunate I can't recommend them. They might be might be my A number one. None of these are real A number ones, but what do you think, Mark?
Yeah, so far none of the weirds have been A number ones. This was delicious. I wish it had a different texture and mouthfeel.
Mm-hmm.
Does not really have a dope mouthfeel.
Nope, no dope mouthfeel.
But overall, yeah, extremely tasty. Good pepper taste, nice spice, and it does, in fact, clean out your snot locker.
Daniel refused to eat them.
Hmm.
Next up is Pick Brand, Nanjin Banya. I don't know, man. These are just like flavored crackers. There's again, Mr. Translator is like, no, not reading this. There's nothing notable about these, honestly. I don't have anything to say. This is a fail completely.
I don't even think I got these.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like kind of like the flavored rice crackers you get in a Japanese party mix, if you will.
Yes.
An oriental mix, if you're racist.
Oof.
But yeah, that's nothing to write home about.
This was a good munch, good crunch.
Yep. Next up is Gia Gia Milk Candy. And this is a kind of a chewy, almost Starburst texture. These are coffee flavored. And I could go as far as saying that these almost taste like a Dunkin' Donuts coffee flavor. I think Dunkin' Donuts has a very distinct flavor. I think everything you get at Dunkin' Donuts tastes like Dunkin' Donuts.
Yes.
Including the donuts and the bagels. Everything has like a Dunkin' Donuts aftertaste to them. And I think Gia Gia completely, like, they found the formula. So if you are one of those weirdos that's actually a fan of Dunkin' Donuts, seek out these Gia Gia milk candies because they taste like Dunkin' Donuts to me. They taste like, maybe you don't live in New England anymore. Maybe you live in California where they maybe not have Dunkin' Donuts. I don't know how far Dunkin' Donuts the reach is, but you miss the flavor of Dunkin' Donuts. Get these Gia Gia milk candies, just pop one in your mouth, chew it for a little while, and it'll all come washing back that disgusting coffee flavor from Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, this tastes like fake coffee.
Just like Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, it's too chewy.
too chewy.
Too chewy. We're home. That was a joke from a movie I didn't see. I love coffee. Love that one bean chili. And I had high hopes for these. I thought they were going to be like a milky, but with coffee. But no, not the case.
These are fine.
Fine. Yeah, I will say that. So next up is something where Mr. Translator was like, I can't read this. It's red on black text. It's not happened. I don't know what the fuck this says. Again, this would, if you saw my post about this in podcast, how you might have saw these, but basically this is a red package or a transparent package with a red bars on the top and bottom. On the top, the red bar on the top features a picture of a man who looks like he didn't realize he was getting his picture taken that day. he might just be kidnapped. Like, this might be some kind of ransom where they're just like, maybe they send this to the victim's family. Like, this is your son in this bag. Inside is a very wet pieces of like
stringy meat.
Yeah.
It's like little Chinese Slim Jims.
Yeah, it's like.
Kinda.
What were those like? They used to sell those like, not, they're not Twizzlers, but those licorices, like those shoestring.
Red vines.
Red. No,
or no. The pull apart Twizzler things.
No, but when I was little,
whips.
Yeah, they used to be, yeah, look at these really thin ones. Like, I used to get them at Little League and shit. They look like that, but then you open the bag, and it's just this overpowering smell of like
sausage,
spice, and pesticide. Just like all of these gross smells, like plants. But you eat it, and it's fucking delicious. It looks disgusting. It smells disgusting, but you eat it, and it tastes like some Chinese sausage. And it's real fucking good. You just got to get over the smell and this picture of this probably kidnapped man looking at you from the bag. But outside of that, out of all these snacks, these are probably the best because there's no real winners out of these. So
no, out of the weird snacks, so much.
These are the most surprising. All together, these are great. What do you think, Mark?
These smell awful. But like you said, they taste amazing. I don't know what they are. They are probably that guy on the on the wrapper.
Pieces of him.
But,
yeah.
Overall, yeah, these were probably the best of the weird bunch. And that's saying something. I think we do have one last thing to discuss.
Yeah.
Those are, I don't know, they're good. I don't like wet snacks like that. It's kind of weird.
Okay. It is weird.
But they taste all right. They're a little too sweet. They literally taste like Slim Jims and like General Tso's sauce or some shit.
So lastly was another pretty much transparent bag, except for graphics, which include what it looks like a green apple and Ninja Turtles.
Those are mangoes.
Mark?
No, those look like apples. Okay, they look like some kind of weird apple.
Yeah. You guys should look what a mango looks like.
Yes, Mike does not look like. I always catch Mike eating fresh fruit around the house.
I mean,
well, why don't we pull out those Oreos so you guys can see what a mango looks like?
I know what a mango looks like. There's different shaped mangoes, but none of them look like apples. So there's a possible mango apple. Maybe it's a hybrid. And a bunch of bootleg Ninja Turtles. And then just a bag of brown powder. And Alex said he bought these from the candy store, so he assumes it's edible. I ate it. It's nothing to write home about. It kind of tastes like the... Daniel's half right, because it kind of tastes like the chili powder you would get on a mango from the mango stand. But I don't know what else. I don't know what you're supposed to do with this. I don't think it's something you're just supposed to eat as a snack. But maybe I could smoke it. I could put it in a bong and smoke it.
You would, yeah. I mean, you may as well.
I don't think you will, Mike.
I will. I mean, I have no problems with that if you give me a lighter. So you guys can talk about this.
Oh, man. Yeah, I tasted a little bit of this, and you definitely are supposed to put it on things and not eat it.
Yeah, on its own. Bong.
You straight up are not supposed to smoke it.
It doesn't say that anywhere on the package. Tell me
it does. I guess, you know what? It doesn't say. And the Ninja Turtles probably smoke
this.
Ninja
Turtles would definitely smoke it.
Yeah.
No, I was just told I can't smoke it.
No. You can smoke it in a bowl. There's weed in this.
Okay, I can't put it in a bong, but I can put it in a water pipe.
He just got yelled at.
He just got yelled at by my dad. He said I can't use my dad's 6-foot bong. Dad said no. So I'm just using his little made for use tobacco pipe. It doesn't really taste like anything.
I hope this is like spice. You just smoked some of K2.
It produces a good amount of smoke for something that maybe you're not supposed to smoke, but
Mike,
I'll tell you guys.
Are you okay? Mike, you look weird now. Is everything all right?
I mean, this show's ending now, so I can't tell you the effects. If there's never another episode of Kissing Contest, you'll know what happened to me, which is I smoked this Ninja Turtle powder and I died.
Now he's a Ninja Turtle.
I feel okay so far.
Cowabunga.
But I should have did this at the beginning of the show to see if there was any Damn problems, it. But it's pretty good. It didn't burn like when you smoke other stuff. That you're
Do you feel different?
No, I feel the same. Okay, so that was our show. Thank you so much, Alex. I can't believe we got through all those fucking snacks in one episode. And
fuck those pizza things.
I think tomorrow what I'm going to do is
be a Ninja Turtle.
Wake up in the hospital.
After I get out of the hospital, where I'll be after smoking this Ninja Turtle dust, I'm just going to get like a big grocery bag and bring this to work as my lunch. Just everything that we just ate.
Oh, that's a really
I'm just
going to
pour it all on my desk. Like, what do you have for lunch today, motherfuckers? This is my lunch. This is all mine.
It just occurred to me that powder is probably just ground up sea turtle shell.
It smells fragrant now. It's like, it's a good smell. Like, I might smoke more of this after the show's over.
Great. Yeah.
See what happens. After that bong's cleared out, maybe I'll just put it in there too. See what that does.
Listen, I'm going to leave, so you do whatever you want.
Maybe I'll roll some up. Who knows?
Yeah. Pick it, pack it, fire it up.
Hits from the bong. So that's it. Yeah, that's our show. Let us know what you think. KissingContest666 at gmail.com. You can go to our website at KissingContestPodcast.com. Don't do that, though.
This was probably a C.
I think this is a solid... This might be their first A-minus show since coming back. Yeah, I think this was a good one. I think we really hit it out of the park with this one.
I think that turtle powder onto your head.
It could be. Everybody's turning purple.
Oh, you're not no longer colorblind.
I can see colors now, guys. The turtle powder, it cured me. I'm no longer colorblind. I'm walking around. I'm no longer in a wheelchair. The turtle powder.
He's dancing.
I'm dancing.
Yeah, you're like Grandpa Joe.
I'm like Grandpa
Willy
Joe.
Wonka.
The turtle powder really...
in a stinky-ass bed.
Yeah, it really cleared everything out. So, it did it. So, yeah, hit us up. Twitter, Kissing Contest, Facebook, Kissing Contest. And Podcast Town, all that good stuff. Until next time. Mwah!
See you guys. All right, that's all. Thanks.
Mystique.